A summer tradition in Saugatuck begins this week with the opening of the 31st season of the Chamber Music Festival of Saugatuck. For the next 6 weeks, concerts will be held Thursdays and Fridays at 7:30 p.m. in the Women's Club of Saugatuck. And every Tuesday here on WMUK, I'll be checking in with the musicians to preview the concerts. Today I'm speaking with a member of the Tesla Quartet, an internationally renowned, award-winning string quartet which first appeared on the Saugatuck series in 2015. I recently called up one of the members to catch up with the group and preview their music for this week. I am on the line here with Ross Snyder. The Tesla Quartet was formed in 2008, and since it's 2018, I should congratulate you on your 10th season in the Tesla Quartet.
Yes, thank you.
10 years sounds like a lot to some, but I would still consider you as a young quartet in quartet age, maybe because I know your mentors in the Juilliard String Quartet, they've been around for over 70 years as a group.
That's correct. I mean, every group kind of has its own lifespan and trajectory. But I like to think that, yes, we're still hopefully less than a quarter of the way through our career. It would be nice to have a long career, but obviously you just want, as the years go by, to feel like there's always growing within the group, and I think that's the case. So 10 years seems like it's gone by in the blink of an eye, but we've done a lot in these 10 years, and we'll continue to do more in the next.
What are some of the things that strike you as some of your favorite moments or most proud accomplishments in the last couple of seasons since we've seen you in Michigan?
Well, we have actually recorded two CDs in the last 2 years, and the first will be coming out. We actually have a release date. I think I'm allowed to say it'll be September 7th this year. It's our first CD, our debut album, and it features string quartets by Haydn and Ravel and Stravinsky. And Ravel and Haydn kind of are the centerpieces of this disc, and kind of branching out are things that connect to it. So Ravel has always been my favorite quartet, and it's, I think, one of the favorite quartets for our group to play. And we've always been disappointed that he only wrote one. So I found a few minuets that Ravel had written for piano, and one of them happens to be dedicated to Haydn. A number of French composers were asked to write a short piece on Haydn's 100th, the anniversary of his death in 1909. And so this was his little contribution to that project. I found a couple other minuets, and so they kind of tie in with this neoclassical, looking backward, looking forward type of character that kind of pervades this album. And then a quartet by Haydn, his Opus 54, number 2, which includes a really unique and beautiful, almost improvisatory, gypsy-like slow movement. And then we have the Stravinsky Concertino, which is a short piece, also kind of harkening back to the kind of concerto grosso concertino style from the Baroque, where there are a soloist or a couple soloists that come in and out of the larger ensemble texture. So it's kind of a looking backward, a reflective album, and kind of with our 10th anniversary being released in the fall, which will kind of mark our 10th anniversary, it's kind of like we're surveying our past 10 years and seeing where we'll be going on from here.
Will you offer it as a physical copy and a download? And where would we find the links for that?
Yes, so it'll be released on the Orchid Classics label, and it will be released, I think, in as many formats as you might care to purchase, although I don't think we're going the fully vinyl route, but definitely there will be hard copy CD. You'll be able to download from iTunes. I think you probably will be able to stream it from some streaming services as well. And we'll have, of course, links on the Tesla Quartet website for how you can find the disc.
I'm speaking with Ross Snyder of the Tesla Quartet, and details on their projects can be found at teslaquartet.com. Tesla Quartet appears on the Saugatuck Chamber Music Festival series this Thursday and Friday, and tickets are available at saugatuckmusic.org. Now, Ross, when Tesla came to the Saugatuck Chamber Music Festival, I think it was 2 years ago, I spoke with Edwin at that time. He's your violist, Edwin Kaplan.
Right.
And I just refreshed myself on that conversation. And one of the things he talked about was how in 2013, 2014, two new members came in to the group, him, Edwin and Seraphim.
Yes.
And how important it was to be in front of live audiences to play in yourselves as a unit and as a cohesive group. And I wondered if you would talk to that and the importance of live feedback from audiences and being together in person in front of an audience.
You know, it's actually amazing how much of a difference an audience makes for the performance. I think if you're used to listening to just recordings or the radio, you can kind of get a sense of a piece of music. But for us, when we're performing, we really feed off the energy of the audience. And we recently played a few concerts in Germany back in April. And particularly in the music that they were most familiar with, I mean, the Haydn that we played and the Brahms that we played on those concerts, they giggled at the moments when Haydn was doing something quirky in a minuet, and they reacted to a poignant moment in a slow movement in a very palpable way. And when you feel and you hear the audience reacting so viscerally to the performance, it kind of just gives you a boost. You know, you feel that connection and you can give more because you know the audience is really receptive and they're taking in what you're giving, and you can give more and you can feel them taking more. And then you can feel their appreciation coming back. I think it's a very unique experience being in a performance. And so that helps, for a young group to build confidence, to know that when you are trying to say something, trying to have an artistic idea or an identity that you want to convey, that it's not just in your mind, but then somebody else can actually perceive that and kind of give you the feedback. And it's really rewarding and a confidence boost to know that the work we do in the practice room actually does mean something, you know, in the world outside.
Well, let us move on to the program you have planned for Thursday and Friday in Saugatuck. Mm-hmm. There are four composers represented, and let's start with the first one, Beethoven, String Quartet, Opus 18, Number 3. What should we listen for here?
This is actually Beethoven's first string quartet, even though it's titled as his Number 3 of the Opus 18 set. The numbering had to do more with the publisher's preference for what, you know, the order that they come in the book. that they were selling. But so you can hear in this quartet, in a way, a gentle introduction into the genre, but very much Beethoven being confident in his voice. And after having been in Vienna for a few years at the point that he had written this, and having studied with Haydn, who basically established how string quartets would be written and would be formed, you can see a lot of that in his music, just kind of continuing that tradition, but also taking some ideas and running with them, taking it in a new direction. It's a very, actually very quite lyrical and singing quartet. And I think often when you think of Beethoven, if you're thinking of the Fifth Symphony or the Ninth Symphony, kind of much more active or angsty or emotional outpouring. But this is actually, in a way, more genteel in a lot of ways. So I think, in comparison to his other Opus 18, it's like the first buds of his style, the blossom just opening a bit. And then as you experience the rest of the Opus 18s, you see how he's developing his ideas and how all the voices in the quartet interact and things like that.
A personal question, Ross. Mm-hmm. I'm curious about your part, your music itself on your stand. How much marking up do you do, and what kind of marking do you typically like to do?
Personally, and I guess it's kind of a trend in the quartet, we all have varying degrees of how much marking we do, but on the whole, I would say we mark only a little bit. I typically just write in fingerings for passages that may be a little tricky, and then sometimes even once I know the piece well enough, I might just erase them because I don't need it as a distraction. bowings are usually important if we've decided, on particular bowings because we want to have a unified look, and sound, though we'll write those in. Occasionally I'll write some direction arrows if we want to feel like this music is moving forward, but we don't overmark our music because we like to feel that every performance is an opportunity to experience the music in a different way. And so we try not to have too many concrete directions for specific ways of playing, even though we will have our own concept that stays the same from performance to performance. I think we like to have freedom to find new ways of expressing things. So a colleague and another quartet, friends of ours, when we were, at a summer festival once, looked at Edwin's music for a particular piece and said, there's nothing on your page. How do you remember what fingerings to do? And everybody is different in terms of what they like to have in front of them. But we generally don't mark very much. I mean, I'm looking at the Schubert cello quintet sitting right in front of me right now, and not a whole lot, a couple bowings and a couple fingerings, really. About it.
My guest is Ross Snyder of the Tesla Quartet, performing Thursday and Friday at the Chamber Music Festival of Saugatuck. And they're starting with Beethoven's Opus 18, number 3. That will get us all grounded in classical music and quartet writing. Up next is a piece much more modern from Karol Szymanowski, who I believe is a Polish composer who may have lived in the same era, had some similarities to the Tesla Quartet's favorite composer, Maurice Ravel.
Yes, actually, the interesting thing about Szymanowski's music is that you hear a lot of influence from the French Impressionist style. His first quartet from 1917 has a lot of textural elements that sound like they could have come from Debussy or Ravel. But it's mixed in with a kind of late or post-romantic melodic sweeping, kind of reminiscent of early Anton Webern or very early Schoenberg, where the melodies kind of evolve and they reach for things and then kind of fall back before moving on again. So it's kind of a mix of this late 19th century, early 20th century Viennese romantic lyricism and French textural and harmonic innovations and things like that. Interestingly, the last movement, the third movement of this piece, is actually each of the players is written in a different key. It's a little bit like a fugue, and everybody enters in their own key. And the piece is supposed to be in C major, but it never really feels like it until the very end. It's more like listening to Stravinsky or something, where it's not so much dissonant as it is just harmonies extended really far, and it's easier to write everybody in their own key than try to just write flats or sharps all over the place in the score. So it's a really great piece. Probably the first time a lot of the audience in Saugatuck may be hearing it, although I can't be too sure of that. But certainly a lot of places where we play it, it's the first time a lot of people are hearing it. But it's a really, really wonderful work.
Agree. We don't hear the Szymanowski Quartet Number 1 on quartet recitals very often at all. And does that mean that one person in the quartet had to really advocate for that, or did you all just say, this is great and we're going to make it ours?
I can't remember which one of us suggested it. It may have been me, but I don't remember. We come up with our programs for the season usually a year and a half to 2 years before we end up performing them, just because we need to plan our concerts that so far in advance. But actually, I think we originally picked this piece up last year because we were playing in a special concert at a university in Canada where we used to have a residency, and it was a 1917. 100th anniversary type concert. This piece, along with the others on the program, were all written in 1917. So we played it there and then decided that we wanted to keep it going, keep it in the repertoire, and we found some other pieces. At other points during the season, we'll be playing it with the Debussy Quartet, so you get that sense of where the French influence is and things like that. So that's, I think, kind of how we came about this particular piece.
And would you tell us about the last two pieces on the program and maybe how you see how they might be linked?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, so the first of the pieces on the second half would be a piece called Fratres by Arvo Pärt. And he's an Estonian composer And this style for this piece is basic might be one of the best words to describe it. I think it finds beauty in simplicity, and that's a big part of Pärt's musical style, is exploring simple ideas and seeing, you know, where you can find beauty in the simple ideas. So basically, it's just a slowly evolving progression of harmonies that repeat themselves, kind of mirror image themselves, and it just starts quietly, and it has a long crescendo to the middle of the piece and then a long diminuendo to the end of the piece as it modulates the kind of harmonic sequence, just modulates from one key to another key very slowly. It's very meditative, I would say. It just unfolds very slowly and very beautifully. A lot of harmonics in the strings, giving it kind of a glassy quality to the sound. And then linking that with the last piece on the program is Philip Glass's Fifth String Quartet. And this idea of kind of minimalism or using simple musical bit to create a large work is the basis of Philip Glass's music. But this fifth quartet is actually perhaps one of his most, it kind of sounds romantic in a way, if his music can be considered romantic. But I think the significance in his music is that the repetition he creates just by, you know, cycling between just a couple notes back and forth, that when one note changes or one voice changes in that texture, it becomes a very significant moment because you have been basically set up to experience something that stays the same for so long, but a tiny change is actually quite a significant change. And so it's similar to the Pärt in that it unfolds in a simple texture that kind of has a lot of growth and development over a longer range.
That's the Philip Glass Quartet No. 5 and Arvo Pärt's Fratres, taking up the second half of the Tesla Quartet's concert coming up Thursday and Friday at the Chamber Music Festival of Saugatuck. Ross, when I hear you talking about the work and preparation that you put into bringing these pieces to life in a performance with the Tesla Quartet, you've outlined weeks, months, even years of preparation. In today's world, where things move really fast, it seems so tumultuous. To be aligned with an institution like a string quartet, like to be a kind of group that originated hundreds of years ago, and to have mentors who have continued the tradition, what does it mean to you to be a little bit out of sync with the sort of floodgates that are constantly open, social media and online? What do you think about the work you're doing?
Well, it's interesting. Actually, I feel like at this moment, chamber music and string quartets among musicians my age and a little younger is actually experiencing somewhat of a resurgence. I think there are a lot of great young string quartets now, thanks in large part to the previous generation that has been so committed to nurturing that in you know, in musical education and higher institutions and in summer programs. So, you know, I think there's actually like, it feels like in a way a renaissance for the string quartet. And, you know, online and in social media, actually, it's kind of a big part of making a career work, connecting with people at concerts and following up on Facebook. And, you know, we occasionally will do a little live concert via Facebook. And you know, now that they have streaming capabilities. So there are ways of reaching audiences beyond the concert hall. And it's a challenge to try to stay up to date with you know, the way the landscape changes. And also be able to still take part in this historical project of keeping old music alive and you know, making it feel relevant to today, but then also making sure that the current music of our colleagues, music of our friends, music that's still being written, is getting a prominent feature. And so, you know, social media can obviously do a lot to help with that. Online presence is kind of ubiquitous now, so it's just another part of what we do.
Well, for Southwest Michigan, our opportunity to make that connection in person is this week at the Chamber Music Festival of Saugatuck, and we can all follow up with the Tesla Quartet as they continue into their 10th season and beyond. And I wish you all the best, Ross. It's been a really informative and lovely time talking to you. Thanks for taking the time for that.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you very much.